Okay, let's turn in our Bible now to the Revelation, the last chapter of the Revelation, the last book, the last chapter, and we'll have this message today and then a couple more messages, and then we'll finish our study through the Revelation. And I must say it has been a revelation to me. This makes the third time we've studied through this Revelation, and it's just as new and fresh and real, more so now than it was back 20 years ago when we first went through it, and then 10 years ago when we went through it the second time. Maybe it's an indication that I'm growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said it might be an indication. I hope it is. Now, Revelation chapter 22. And we want to try to look at the first five verses of this chapter today. And I'm using for a title to these first five verses here, Paradise Restored. Paradise Restored. Now, God created a man and put him in the Garden of Eden, and it was a paradise. It was a paradise, but something terrible happened. Adam sinned against God and was kicked out. And when God kicked Adam out, He kicked you out. He kicked us out. Because we all came forth from that one man. In this last chapter of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, we have another glorious picture of the spiritual paradise, the city of God, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ that He has prepared for us. Remember He said in John 14, I'll go away, and if I go away, I'll go away and prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. I'll come again and receive you unto myself. The Lord told the dying thief in his last hour, today you'll be with me in paradise. That thief is still there with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why our Lord said, as we've read over here in Revelation 14, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. We rest. We're blessed to die in the Lord. When a believer departs from this body of sin, they immediately and eternally are in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, awaiting their resurrected body. They shall serve the Lord and see Him face to face, and they shall reign with Him in that day and forevermore. Now, Adam, before sin entered in, lived in a glorious paradise that God had prepared. It was called the Garden of Eden. It must have been a glorious place. No weeds, no thorns, no thistles. Everything was planted by God. He said everything was good and perfect. But sin entered in. God drove Adam and Eve and all men out of that paradise because of sin. By one man, sin entered into this world, and death by sin, in that all men have sinned in Him. That's how you are a sinner. That is why you are a sinner. In Adam all died. In Adam all are guilty before God. God put a flaming sword of His holy justice. Said, you can't come here unless you satisfy the righteous, holy law of God. Unless you have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's holy law. Thank God we have that in Christ. In the fullness of time, the Lord Jesus Christ came, who was called the second Adam, and restored what the first Adam had lost, and much more. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By the obedience of another shall many be made righteous. Where sin hath abounded, grace doth much more abound. Where sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. Now, whose righteousness is He talking about there? Not ours, not our morality, but the righteousness we have freely imputed unto us in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the fullness of time, the Lord sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And He got it done. He justified and saved his people with his own blood. So in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this paradise restored. Restored. A spiritual heavenly kingdom. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what it said, the Lamb upon the throne. And he showed me, verse 1 of Revelation 22, he showed me a pure river, a river of water of life. A water of life. Clear as crystal, proceeding not by the throne of God, proceeding out of the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb. You see, the Lamb here is God. He is God, our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the water of life. He is the pure river of the water of life. There is an eternal abundance of life and salvation in Him, never ending, overflowing, the eternal supply and the river of His love, the river of His grace, the river of His mercy. It's eternal and it flows from the throne of God right down to where we are. We studied in Psalm 46, remember? There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High, God's in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right soon. There is a river. And then we studied in Isaiah 32. The Lord is called the rivers of water in a dry place. A man shall be a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he told the woman at the well. You remember in John chapter 4, and that woman said to the Lord Jesus Christ, she was a Samaritan, and she said to the Lord, well, the Jews don't have any dealing to do with the Samaritans. And the Lord asked her for a drink of water. And the Lord said to her, if you would ask of me, I'll give you a cup of water that's a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And she said, Lord, give me that water. Give me that water. The Lord Jesus Christ is a well of water springing up into everlasting life that will never run dry. Christ is the water of life. You know, water is very necessary to our life, isn't it? You cannot do without drinking water. Water. All the cities in this country, when the Western expansion started in 1830, 1840, 45, all the cities going west were all established by what? Rivers. Cincinnati, St. Louis, Kansas City, Omaha, Nebraska. All those cities were founded upon rivers. Why? Water is a necessity. You have to have water. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a water of life. He said in John 7, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Lord, give me that water. Give me that water. Now, we've seen this a couple of times here. Turn back to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Look at verse 5. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I'm Alpha, Omega, the beginning, the ending, the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I'll be his God. He shall be my son. The water of life that's freely given. Freely given. Look at chapter 2, 22 rather. Revelation 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Come to Christ. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life. I love that word, freely. Our Lord says, ho, everyone that's thirsty, come to the water and drink. He that hath no money, come buy. Without money and without price. This pure river flowed from the sovereign throne of God with an abundance of pure, clean, clear, crystal blessings of grace, love, and mercy through the mediator, through the advocate, through the surety of the covenant, through our Savior, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. One God, one mediator between God and sinners, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can say to that woman at the well, Lord, give me that water. Let me drink of that water of life that flows from your throne, proceeding clear as crystal. It's a pure river out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. That's good water. That is pure water that comes from God that He's provided for us. Now look at verse 2. In the midst of a street of it, on either side of the river, there was a tree of life. Now, there's that symbol again, symbolic of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. This tree of life, like the water of life, this tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of that tree of life, were for the healing of the nations. I need healing, don't you? This new paradise also has a tree. It's called the tree of life. In the original paradise, there was a tree of life. Adam lost the privilege of eating it by sinning against God, by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which ended up being the tree of death, and ignoring the tree of life. And we read there in Genesis chapter 3, so he drove man out, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, to guard it, to protect it. No way back into that garden except the holy justice and law of God is satisfied. And that's only done by our Lord Jesus Christ. He took the sword of God's justice into His bosom and suffered the wrath of God for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And we enter into this paradise based upon His blood and His righteousness alone. In this new paradise, and in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is the tree of life. He is the fruit of all blessing. Christ is the fruit of endless blessings we have in Him. He is the tree of life which bear 12 manner of fruits. Notice this tree of life seems to be everywhere. In the midst of the street, on either side of the river, it seems to be everywhere. Now we know this is symbolic of the presence of the Lord, which is everywhere. The tree of life seemed to be everywhere, in the street, on both sides of the river, in the city of God, in the paradise of God, everywhere present. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that. The city, which is a picture of the church, is full of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessedness of glory that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Him, we are blessed. And there, notice it says it's bearing 12 manner of fruits, meaning, remember I told you that number 12? We talked about that last week, all the different 12s. That 12 is the number of completion, the number of God's complete and sovereign rule. The manner of fruits, meaning complete, 12 manner of fruits, meaning complete and full blessings in Christ. Full salvation, full pardon, full righteousness. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ we stand, what? Complete. Of His fullness have we all received grace for grace, grace upon grace. He is the true vine. Even the leaves of the tree, as it says in verse 2, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of a nation. Not only the fruit, but even the leaves. Every part of that tree was good for food. We know the gospel teaches us that with His stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Isn't this a special tree? What a river of water of life God has provided for us. A river, and then we have a tree of life that bears all manner of spiritual fruit. He's provided all our need according to His riches in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everything we have in Christ here and now will be forever enjoyed perfectly there and then, everlasting life and eternal joy in Him. Now look at verse 3, and there shall be no more. Now I love that word no more. No more curse. No more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb of God shall be in it, on it, about it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall serve Him. Now remember, turn back one page, in chapter 21, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. There shall be no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain. The former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, write these words. They are true and faithful. Make all things new. What a glorious paradise we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. No more curse. No more curse. Remember what we read in the book of Galatians? Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And then we read in that same book, Galatians 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The Lord Jesus Christ took our curse and gave us His blessing. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The Lord Jesus Christ, there's no more curse because there's no more sin. The Lord Jesus Christ put away our sin, not with the sacrifice of bulls and goats, but with His own blood. He obtained for us eternal redemption. No condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ right now and then. Justified freely by His grace through the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without work. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. No more curse. No more sin. No more death. No more pain. Everlasting joy. Eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't wait to go. Can't wait to be with the Lord. The former things will pass away. No possibility of sin or Satan ever destroying this paradise of God. Nothing going to enter into that city. You remember the last verse in chapter 21? Nothing will enter into that new paradise that will destroy it. In Revelation 21, verse 7, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Nothing but perfection is going to enter into that city. No one could ascend to the hill of the Lord but those who were in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ascend based upon the righteousness He's given us in Christ, upon the blood redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Remember? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. No more sea, no more trouble, no more curse. The law of God's been satisfied in our blessed Savior. We read it in 2 Peter 3 many, many times. But according to His promise, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. He's going to destroy this place. He's going to destroy this earth as we know it. And He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. In this paradise restored, the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lamb of God who put away our sin reigns supreme, absolute, and forever. It mentions that twice in verse 1 and in verse 3. The throne of God and of the Lamb. It's the Lamb upon the throne that is our Savior. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. He ruled and reigned over all things. All through our study in the Revelation, in this book, we have seen the glorious description of the Lamb of God, and the Lamb upon His throne. Remember? Let's go back and review for a moment. Turn over here to the chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4. We see the Lord Jesus Christ is as the Lamb in his sacrificial character upon the throne of God. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, the four beasts, and each had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, that lives forever and ever. And the 24 elders, the four beasts are symbolic of God's servants. The 24 elders are symbolic of the redeemed of the Lord. They fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lived forever and ever. And they cast their crown before the throne of God. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The Lamb upon the throne is God our Savior. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away our sin. Now, turn to chapter 6, verse 14. When the Lord comes back, the heavens will depart as a scroll when it's rolled together, Revelation 6, 14, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place, and the kings of the earth, and great men, and rich men, and chief captains, and mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall stand? Only those in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lamb upon the throne. Look at chapter 7, verse 9. Revelation 7, verse 9. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindred, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. You can't get away from that, can you? The Lamb upon the throne, and clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, salvation unto our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb upon the throne. Do you have the Lamb? You remember what Isaac said to his father, Abraham, where is the Lamb? You cannot approach God without a sacrifice for sin. And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is that very sacrifice we need. The throne of the Lamb is the throne of his sovereign grace and his sovereign dominion. Whatsoever the Lord please, that's what he does in heaven, earth, sea, and all deep places. It's joy to the believers, but it's dread to all the enemies. They prayed, Lord, they prayed unto the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the face of the Lamb, the wrath of the Lamb. Now, look back to chapter 22 again, in the last part of verse 3. And his servants shall serve him. His servants, they serve him. Now, his servants serve him now. His servants, believers redeemed by his blood, shall serve him, sing praises unto him, and worship him like we want to now. But in that day, worship him without sin. Worship him perfectly. Worship him as he ought to be. We can say right now, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, power, glory, and blessing, both now and forever. But how much more in that day shall we worship God without sin? Look at verse 4. And they shall see his face, the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his name shall be in their forehead. We shall see him completely, totally, and know him perfectly face to face. Paul writes about that in 1 Corinthians 13. Let me read it to you. He said, we know in part and we preach in part. Now we see through a glass darkly or in a riddle. But then in that day face to face. He said, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. We shall know him and see him face to face. The glory of God shines in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn back, you want to turn back to 1 John John writes about it in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, he said, "Behold," verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." 1 John 3, verse 2. "Beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is," face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? What will it be? The essence of glory is to be like him, to see him, to be with Christ forever. That is what we are predestinated to be. We are predestinated perfectly to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He predestinated us to be just like Christ. You remember this scripture? I know you do, in Romans 8, 29 and 30. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." That's what predestination is all about, being like Christ. "Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Well, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. We have all things in him." So it says there, we shall see him face to face. We shall see him face to face and be conformed to his image. They shall see his face and his name, not on their forehead, in their head. In their head. Christ in you is the hope of glory. All the elect of God will be owned by the Lord, and he will acknowledge that we belong to him. You remember in John 10, he knows his sheep by name and leads them out. "The foundation of God standeth sure, having his seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." Now, we've seen this before. You remember? Turn back to chapter 14. Chapter 14. We've seen this before. You remember the 144,000? A number of God's elect, his redeemed. Revelation 14, verse 1, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with them the 144,000, having their Father's name written in their forehead." They follow the Lamb wherever the Lamb of God goes. His name is in our thoughts, in our heart. We own him, that name that's above every name. At that name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. His name shall be in their forehead. Look at verse 5. "And there shall be no night there." No night there. "They need no candle, neither the light of sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever." Christ is our light. Look right across the page in Revelation 21, verse 23. "And the city had no need of sun, of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light." The Lamb is the light thereof. Remember, our Lord said in John 8, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He transformed us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. All believers, all the elect of God. Notice the last part of verse 5. "They shall reign forever and ever with him," being one with him, seated in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is right now precious to you who believe, but oh, in that day, that will be glory for me. when by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory for me. Paul writes about it this way in 1 Corinthians 2. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered into the heart of man the thing which God hath prepared for them that love him. Thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I would encourage you to turn with me and let's read this over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 50. I don't know how many times I've read this, standing in a graveyard next to a freshly dug grave, bearing a dear loved one with anticipation of resurrection glory. And now, this I say, this is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15. This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. For we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Thy Lord conquered the grave, didn't he? He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. The Lord Jesus Christ satisfied the law of God, taking the sting of the law, taking the sting of death in his own body on the tree. And he gives us life, salvation. Therefore we say, verse 57, thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the river of the water of life. He is the tree of life. Look to him. That's what our Lord said. The only just God and Savior said, look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, I am God. Beside me there is no other. There's no other Savior. There's no other salvation but in the Lord Jesus Christ.